Hello, everyone. We'll be exploring today mindfulness of the body. So mindfulness of the body or body awareness is the first of the four foundations of mindfulness. So it's a key part of practicing the Buddha's teachings. I think perhaps it's the first one because it's easier to stay present with the body in many ways than the mind. Mind tends to wander off, whereas the body is more grounded. It's also takes part in all of our life's experiences. The body participates in everything we do. Connecting with the body connects you in the present moment. So when we talked about focusing our attention on the breath, we were looking at how the breath actually manifests in the body. So we weren't like thinking about the breath. We were looking at, focusing our attention on the breath as it passes through the nostrils, as the chest rises and falls, or the belly rises and falls, which are all body sensations. The breath or the body is also a gateway between our sitting on the cushion practice and our daily life practice. So we can much more easily follow the body, body sensations, and focus on body sensations throughout the day to ground us, solidify us, to bring us to the present moment. So the Buddha said, just to give you an idea of sort of how important body awareness was practicing with the body was for the Buddha, if the body is not mastered, then the mind cannot be mastered. If the body is mastered, mind is mastered. The Buddha went on to say, there is one thing that cultivated and regularly practiced leads to a deep sense of urgency, to supreme peace, to mindfulness and clear comprehension, to the attainment of right vision and knowledge, to happiness here and now, to realizing deliverance by wisdom and the fruition of holiness. It is mindfulness of the body. So that is a real indicator of the prominence and importance that the Buddha attached to mindfulness of the body. Sometimes people skip mindfulness of the body and think, I'll go to the thoughts and emotions and the real juicy stuff and maybe find concentrating awareness in the body a little boring or not important, but it really is a crucial part of the practice. I don't know how many people are familiar with mindfulness-based stress reduction or any of the other sort of mindfulness-based interventions that come from MBSR. They spend the first 4 weeks to some degree, practicing mindfulness of the body. The first couple of weeks, that's all you do is a 45-minute body scan. And I think some people think, well, let's get to the juicy stuff, enough with this body scan. But it really is a crucial foundation. It's also very important with a body awareness practice to try to separate the body sensations from your interpretations or thoughts about what's being felt or sensed in the body. It's allowing the body sensations just to be as they are, just tuning in. There's nothing more that needs to be done. We're just tuning into what is seen. And a blank is okay too. If there's no sensations present, then being present with the lack of body sensation. So we're really separating this judgment and commentary out of the picture. One thing I found in my practice was that body and body sensations are a really good early warning system. Kind of like a telltale if you're a sailor. It kind of gives you an indication of how the wind's blowing. I found it very useful to give me some early warning. I suffered with some pain, and it gave me, being aware of the body gave me some early warning just before the pain intensified. And it was very, it got subtler and subtler as I paid attention to it more and more, and I found it very helpful that way. The body's actually also a wellspring of intuition and wisdom in and of itself. There's this story about it's a card game. It's kind of like for gambling, and it's also an experiment. They took a person and they hooked them up to the lie detection equipment, which basically measures stress reaction in the body. The things on the palms and the fingers. Then they played this card game. And you don't need to know all the rules, but if you turn over a particular, like a red card, you lose points, and a blue card is good, it gives you more points. And they just start turning over the cards. And it's interesting to how long it took for the person to figure out that the red cards were not good and the blue cards were good. So this registered on the lie detection equipment after 10 cards. So the body was already giving. So when they reached for a blue card, there would be a stress reaction recorded in the body. Unaware up to the person playing the game, because they weren't tuned into their body. The equipment was, but they weren't. After, I can't get the exact number, but after 20 odd cards, the person reported having a gut feeling that the blue cards were good and so on. How many cards do you think it took before they cognitively knew, before they figured it out in their minds? It was over 40 cards. So their bodies had already indicated, had already communicated in some way through the gut feeling, which is a real physiological phenomenon. But even before that, in terms of a subtle kind of stress reaction. So tuning into our bodies is really this kind of wellspring of intuition. What's sometimes called emotional intelligence is really a process of tuning into the body. The other thing I'd like to just touch upon is how we relate to intense body sensations. Some of us have injuries or have some kind of something happening in our bodies that is producing perhaps some intense sensations, particularly if we're sitting and our bodies aren't used to that. Maybe even if you don't have an injury, some intense body sensations can arise from just this kind of sitting for long periods of time. So how do we relate to that? The common way, the habitual way, is to try and push it away or block it out, which of course we saw from the first Dharma talk, that it actually intensifies the suffering around the pain, the trying to resist it. The saying goes, what we resist persists. And in fact, what we resist actually intensifies in many cases. So how do we relate to these intense body sensations? The instruction from the Four Noble Truths is, as best we can, we allow it. We open to it, bring curiosity to it. Now, this can be difficult, because sometimes our mind wants nothing to do with allowing intense body sensations, intense pain. You might want to think of kind of riding the waves of the sensation and seeing how they shift. It's one of the, you know, we talk about suffering because the joys are impermanent, but the flip side of that is the intense pain is also impermanent. It's a good side to that truth. So can we, you know, as best we can, riding the waves of the sensation, you might breathe with the shifting sensations that arise, breathing with it, and noticing any resistance to allowing it. So when I had, you know, my bout with intense pain, I wouldn't even call it a headache, it was pain. It was more like if you had a broken bone in your head. That's kind of what it felt like. Very intense, what I called a brain pain. And so I was practicing with it and allowing. But then I kind of noticed there was a very subtle resistance. And the subtle resistance was, I'm going to allow this. I'm going to do what the Buddha said, so it goes away. Right? So it's it's kind of a mind almost playing tricks on me. And it wasn't until I kind of noticed that I had that very subtle, the word that came to mind in that moment was surrender. Surrendering to what is present. Not struggling or striving in any way. Not bringing any effort. And there was a shift. When the aversion was reduced or even eliminated, there was a lessening in the suffering. I was no longer firing that second arrow, if you're familiar with the two arrow sutra. First arrow being the pain, the second arrow being the resistance and the story around the pain, which is adding to what is present. So I'll give you some instruction around mindfulness of the body, just a way to relate to the body in our practice. So the posture is the same, that relaxed and alert, I like to call it dignified posture, and kind of noticing how when you think of a dignified posture, perhaps your spine straightens. That is an important part of the practice, the alertness and preciseness of the posture. And we would begin with a awareness of the breath, because that in itself is a body sensation. Not controlling the breath, but just bringing our attention to where the breath is easiest and most naturally felt, or it's most predominant, I guess you could say. And it really doesn't matter whether it's nostrils, chest, belly. The choice is kind of irrelevant. It's just, you know, kind of picking one and sticking with it and bringing our awareness to it. And as we're practicing with the breath, if a body sensation dissipates the awareness of breath, so it becomes more predominant, then simply allow the breath to fade into the background of awareness and the body sensation that's become more prominent to be your focus of attention. And as long as that body sensation is in awareness and asking for this attention, remain with it. And once it kind of fades from awareness, coming back to the body. When I say body sensation, I'm talking about things like, you know, tingling, throbbing, Could be a surface sensation, could be a deeper sensation, it could be the sensation of touch on the cushion or your feet on the floor. It could be temperature internally in the body, or it could be the temperature of the body on the skin. It could be air moving on the skin, heat, cold, whatever it might be. There's a wide variety of types of sensations that just pop into awareness. And when they do, we bring our shift from the breath to that body sensation until they've, you know, it's kind of had its time and it's faded from awareness, and then back to the breath. And if another object, such as thoughts or emotions, sounds, draw your attention away, just notice when you notice that this has happened, simply gently but firmly draw your attention back to the breath and begin again. And perhaps notice what happens to body sensations when you bring attention to them. Bring some curiosity to that. When a body sensation is held in awareness, what happens to it? Do they get stronger, weaker, stay the same, shift around in some way? Perhaps noticing your relationship, how you relate to that body sensation. Noticing that the sensation is, in fact, quite different than your reaction to it. So seeing the separation between those two. And as best you can, staying with the raw experience of the body sensation. Notice perhaps when your reaction is stronger than the body sensation itself. And that story is quite prominent. And as best you can, avoiding to participate in those stories, that sankhara dukkha, but simply be aware of what's arising in the body. So I invite you to, in silence, practice what I've just described, bringing awareness to the body.